الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال إني ذاهب إلى ربي سيهدين ربي هب لي من الصالحين فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected elders and brothers, we are passing through the Mubarak days and the blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah. The Hajis are now proceeding, or they are in Arafat, or perhaps now getting, making dua, standing in dua, etc. And very soon they'll be making their way back to Muzdalifah. But based on the sighting of the moon, our day of Arafat is tomorrow. So we're passing through these Mubarak days. We have just passed few months back through the Mubarak days of Ramadan. But it is important for us to understand that Deen Islam is not a seasonal Deen. It's not only on certain occasions, at certain seasons or certain auspicious days. Deen Islam and the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at all times. Every day of our life, 24 hours of our life, we have to be in the obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us these different occasions so that we may be encouraged towards increasing in the obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person in the month of Ramadan, he exerts himself so that his life after Ramadan can be better than before Ramadan. And likewise, during the Mubarak days of Dhul-Hijjah, a person increases in ibadat, then comes the qurbani and udhiyah, or the sacrificing of the animal. He does it for solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So that now after the days of Dhul-Hijjah, he is a bit more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during these occasions, you find many talks are given, many discussions take place around the life of those Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, because of whom this Mubarak Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was passed on to us. During the days of Udhiyah or during the days of Qurbani, you'll find discussion is centered around the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Why? Because of the level of Qurbani in his life, the level of sacrifice in his life, and over and above that, the level of obedience in his life. One very, very salient feature in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was that of obedience. That no matter what the command of Allah, I must fulfill it. I must fulfill it. No, finding loopholes. No looking for a way out. If it is the hukam and the command of my Allah, then I have to fulfill it. And this stems out from the love that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater the obedience to the command and the hukams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, after making a great amount of effort in his community, amongst his people, when he found that they were not prepared to listen and they were stubborn on their ways, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam decided to make that sacrifice of hijrat. Leaving his people, leaving his community, leaving his qawm and his nation, and moving away to such a place where he will be free to obey and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he tells his people, he tells his father, his family, that I am leaving now. His wife and his nephew, Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, besides these two, nobody else accompanied him, and he leaves. And he goes from place to place, and eventually he settles down in Palestine. They say, some of the commentators say, he goes to Sham, and from there eventually he reaches Palestine. So he says, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. I am leaving and I am going, my Allah is going to guide me. And the reason for going was deen, was not the dunya. His entire reason for leaving his community and the hijrat was so that he can freely obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Freely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after many years of travel, etc., when the desire came in his heart for a son, for a child, because at that time he was issueless, there was no children in his life at that time, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, O my Allah, grant me pious offspring. From this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn that when we make dua for children, we must make dua for pious children. See, Hazrat Ji Malana Masiullah Rahmatullah Alayh, great Buzruq, great Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, used to reside in Jalalabad. Whenever anybody used to take their children to him for dua, say, make dua that he becomes a Hafiz al-Quran or becomes an Alim. So Hazrat Ji used to make dua that he become pious. Allah usko nek banav. Allah must make him pious. He can be an alim and not obeying the commandments of Allah, of what benefit? Can be a hafiz al-Quran and not in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of what benefit? You find many huffaz, if you look at them, there's no like signs of deen on their life. No signs of deen on them. Their hairstyles, their styles of dressing, etc. There's no deen in them. I remember very well that once a jamaat, you know, from Palestine was here, and we were doing gush in one of the areas, and alhamdulillah, many huffaz in that area. So whenever a youngster came to the door, and then the father or whoever was the rebbe used to say, Hafiz al-Quran this is. Went to the next house, and after that we found another Hafiz al-Quran, another Hafiz. So that Arab brother was very surprised, and he said, you know, you'll have many huffaz here, but unfortunately they don't look like huffaz. Unfortunately, they don't look like Hafiz al-Quran. Their faces are clean shaven, pants are below the ankles, they have all these funny hairstyles, etc. So when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, O my Allah, grant me pious offspring. If he's a Hafiz al-Quran, he must be a pious boy. If he's an alim, he must be pious. If he's a doctor, he must be pious. He must be from amongst the salihin. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we make dua, we should make dua that Allah grants us pious offspring. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِذِ بَتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that we put Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam through many tests, and he passed all those tests. Many trials he went through, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam passed all those tests. فَأَتَمَّهُن. Then Allah says, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Because he passed all those tests, very obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as a reward for you, we are going to make you an imam, a leader. And if you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or the personality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is a leader even in the Jewish community. He is a leader even amongst the Christians. And obviously amongst the Muslimin, we all honor him and we love Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He is even part of our Durood Ibrahim also. In our salah every time we remember Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is a leader of all communities. Everybody, lay claim to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah said, we are going to make you an imam. But look at the worry and the concern of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah honors him with this title of imam, see, we are going to make you an And Imam Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam immediately said, "Wa min dhurriyati," that, "Oh Allah, and my progeny also, include them also." Immediately he said, "Oh my Allah, include my progeny also, make them also leaders, make them also imams." So from this we understand and realize the type of concern and aspiration we should have for our children, that they should become leaders in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat where mention is made of the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know the incidents when he took his wife Hazrat Hajra alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, left them in the barren land of Makkah. There was no vegetation, no habitation. He leaves them there and he's now going away. This was also the hukam and the command of Allah. He didn't do this just on his own. It was a hukam and a command of Allah. He really loved that child for who he had made dua, for whom he had made dua at a very advanced age. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, this child, at an advanced age. But then the hukam of Allah came that leave him in that barren land and you move away. That is when he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first part of the dua, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا, that, "Oh my Allah, make this land a land of peace and security." Why? If there's security, if there's peace, then it becomes easy for a person to fulfill the commandments of Allah, to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the first dua that he made. Together with that, he says, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, that, "Oh my Allah, save me and my progeny from the ibadat of idols, from idol worship." رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Then he goes on to say that, "Oh Allah, this idol worship has destroyed many, many people, has turned them away from you, destroyed them." So he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first dua that he's making for his son is that they must be prevented and should be, protected from idol worship. Should be protected from idol worship. And not only that, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, protect me also. Wajnubni, protect me also." And we know that the Nabi of Allah, he is Khalilullah. Yet he is worried and is concerned. He is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh my Allah, save me from idol worship. Wabaniya, and save my children also. Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas." This idol worship has destroyed many people. In this zamana and age, amongst the Muslimin throughout the world, to a great extent, alhamdulillah, they have been protected from idol worship. In other words, the idol of stone worship. We have been protected from that type of idol worship. But there is another idol worship, which unfortunately many people are caught in and trapped in. And that is the worship of sports stars. All these Bollywood and Hollywood stars or disasters. All these type of people we have been following. They have set certain trends. And this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, if you study it well, "Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas," that they have led many, many people astray. This idol worship of thing of people, of stars, so-called celebrities, etc. They have set certain trends in the society. And you'll find people are following headlong in those trends. And we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in following these type of idols, these type of trendsetters. Those that destroy our deen, they destroy our akhlaq and our character also. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that those who will follow in my footsteps, in other words, being a muwahid on tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be from amongst those who will be following Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, or from the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam said, "وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ." Oh my Allah, if they don't follow my style and my way of life, then you are غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. you deal with them as you feel best. Then he goes on to make dua. Rabbi inni askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytikal muharram. Rabbana liyuqimus salah. Then he explains to Allah, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should understand the situation and the scene here. He has left his family in a barren land. He moves away. He is now behind the mountains when he cannot see the family anymore. As he was moving away, every now and then turn around and have a look at them. And now he's coming behind the mountain and he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He followed the hukam and the command of Allah. He didn't do it on his own. But at the same time, he made provisions for them. And what was the best of provisions? Or what provisions did he leave for them? In terms of dunyawi provision, he left a little bag of some, what you can say, patkos, a little bag of food and some water. That's all. And he moves away. And the best of provisions he made was he turned his full attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he drew the help and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his family. And he makes dua to Allah, oh my Allah, I left them in a barren land. There is nothing, there is no habitation, no vegetation. But one of the reasons for doing this, and what I would desire and would want an outcome from this, is إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing is, oh my Allah, so that they may establish salah here. But commentators of the Quran say salah was mentioned, but it refers to the entire deen. So that, oh my Allah, your deen can be established here. This entire sacrifice is being made so that your deen can be established. He's already making dua so that the deen of Allah can be established. On the one side, he made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes hifazat, makes this place a place of security and aman. But the next thing he makes dua for is for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be established. This child is still a baby. He's still a baby. Mother is all by herself there. There's nobody to support her. But he draws the nusrat and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does he want out of this? What does he want out of this entire sacrifice of his? لِيُقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ. So that the salah can be established. Unfortunately today, baligh son, baligh daughter, fast asleep in the house at the time of Fajr. Father, mashallah, will get up and be in the first saf of the masjid. But he's not bothered about that baligh son and baligh daughter fast asleep at the time of Fajr. Imagine a Muslim home and for days on end there isn't a Fajr salah that is being performed. Father, mother, son, daughter, all fast asleep. What do we learn from the lessons that we are taught in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? That we should establish the deen of Allah in our lives. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ. Oh my Allah, so that we may establish the salah. Further down he makes dua again. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. That oh my Allah, make me also one who will establish salah in his life. And my progeny that is to come, they must also establish salah in their lives. So we should make dua to Allah subhanahu. This is the aspirations we should have for our children. And together with that, these are the du'as we should make for our children. We have mentioned this in the past also. And we mention it again. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our children, we should make dua that our children become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times we go to the Maulana or the Buzruganeddin and we complain and we say, my child is very disobedient to me. My child is very disobedient to me. Make dua, he becomes obedient to me. The problem is we never made him obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were not bothered about his salah. We were not bothered about the tilawat of Quran. We were not bothered about his talim and his education as far as learning correct recital of the Quran. And then we say, my child is very disobedient to me. If you had made your child obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have definitely been obedient to you. So when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That, oh my Allah, make my spouse and my children the coolness of my eyes. And Hassan Basri rahmatullah used to say, coolness of my eyes mean that you see your children in the obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, make our children obedient to Allah. In obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be obedient to us. They will look after us in our old age. They will fulfill the rights of their parents. So therefore, we have to make dua and at the same time make an effort, have the correct concern and aspiration for our children. This was the aspiration of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for his child. Because he had the correct concern, and because he had the correct aspiration, most of his life he was out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of his life he was out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This child was being brought up by the mother. But the worry and the concern of the father, the correct aspiration of the father, made it such that this child grew up to be a very obedient child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ We blessed him with a tolerance child, bi ghulamin halim, one who is tolerant. Tolerant in what? He was prepared to tolerate anything in order to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a tolerant child. He's prepared to go through all types of hardships and difficulties in order to obey every hukam and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is also halim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the sifats and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah is halim. But Allah is tolerant in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tolerates our nonsense. Allah tolerates our gunas and sins that we commit. The earth every day seeks permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that grant me ijazat and permission so that I may swallow all those that are disobedient to you. The sea every day seeks permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant me permission so that I may drown all those that are disobedient to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite mercy, Allah is ghafoorul rahim, Allah is haleem, Allah tolerates us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the earth and says to the sea, if they are your creation, you do what you want to do. But if they are my creation, you leave them to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tolerates us. There are a lot of wrongs that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tolerates us. But there are certain gunas and sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate. And very soon or very quickly the azab of Allah comes even in the dunya. And one of them is bihayai. Bihayai and shamelessness. When shamelessness become widespread, and when people start to justify shamelessness, then the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ We gave him a child, a son who was tolerant, who was prepared to accept every hukam and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tolerate whatever difficulties he will go through. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْذُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى Here from this verse also you will understand the tolerance of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, of Ismail alayhi salatu salam. At the same time you understand the level of obedience they had. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was like an ummat himself. A person who left behind a legacy. A legacy that is to be followed till the day of Qiyamah. And قَانِتًا obedient, حَنِيفًا No hanky-panky, no wavering. No moving of the hukam and the command of Allah. What is the hukam and the command of Allah? Do exactly as it's supposed to be done. No finding of loopholes, etc. When it suits us, we do it like that. When it doesn't suit us, then we just leave the command of Allah one side and we do it our way. Like there was one businessman, very big businessman, sent his son to become an alim. Son went, studied all the different kitabs, etc., the business laws, transactions, etc. 7 years he studied. Father, with lot of aspiration, sent him to become alim. So the son goes, becomes an alim, comes back. Father said, little while during the day, you must help me in the shop. Other than that, you can go and teach. So while he was in his father's business, he found lot of irregularities in terms of the sharia. He found that this transaction of my father is incorrect, and that is incorrect, and there was some riba involved here, etc. So he started telling his father that this is wrong and this is the masla. Father said, hey, bye. I didn't send you to go study to come tell me how to run my business here. You worry about your kitabs and you leave the business to me. See, so this is the type of obedience we have. When it suits us, then no, mashallah, you know, we must do like this, do like that. And when it doesn't suit us, then we do it our way. This is the tariqah of the Jews and the Christians. Sami'na wa asayna. We hear, but we'll do how we feel like doing. And the tariqah and the tartib of a mu'min and a believer is sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we will do exactly what Allah wants us to do. So falamma balagha ma'ahu sa'ya qala ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. He goes up to his son and tells his son, I see in a dream that I'm slaughtering you. What do you think about it? What do you say? What's your say? He wanted to test his son, see what level of tolerance and obedience there was in his son. And what does the son say? Qala ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Oh, my father, do exactly as you have been commanded to do. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. With no pride. Look at the level of humbleness in it. He's saying that insha'Allah, if Allah wills, I will be from amongst those who are patient. He didn't even say, I'll be patient. You see, there are many people in the world who are tolerant, who are patient, who have good qualities, who are pious, who are obedient. Me too, inshallah, I'll try with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from amongst those that are obedient to Allah. So then he's ready. He, father and son, both got ready. Falamma aslama watallahu lil jabin. Father and son now go. We all have heard this incidents over and over again. Father puts the son down and he was about to slaughter him. At that time, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam tells the father, he's quoted in Marif al-Quran. He tells the father that, you know, perhaps you are now going to go back and tell my mother about this. Because at that time they didn't inform the mother as yet. Why don't you take my kurta and leave it one side? Because when you are going to slaughter me, then the blood is going to splash on my clothing. And now you are going to show the mother the blood spilled or blood stained kurta the mother is going to see. It's going to hurt her more. So you rather remove the kurta first and thereafter you slaughter me. So at that time the father said to his son, oh my son, what a great helper and assistant you are for me in the obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A true son and a real progeny and great children are those that will assist you in the obedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, there are many of us, we want to obey Allah. We want to do the things the right way, but then the family comes in the way. And this you'll see especially in the weddings. When the weddings are on, then you find that the father got no say, even the bridegroom got no say. One youngster told me once also, Malana, it's my nikah, my wedding, but I can't say anything yet. They're handling everything. I can't even say how it's supposed to be. The setting and the hall and the music and the mix-up in that thing, all these haram activities. If you want to see the level of deen in a nation, in a community or a family, you must look at the weddings. Look at the weddings and you'll know how much of deen there is and what aspirations and what level of taqwa and deen they have. Then you see from the weddings, all the mix-ups in the weddings, etc. And all this funny kuncha parties and this party and what you call this mehndi parties, all borrowed customs from the Hindus and the Christians, etc. And then you'll see the level of deen in the community and the society. So the father said to the son, oh my son, what a great helper and assistant you are. You know that you help me in obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the aspiration we should have. That our children should become a great assistant and helper to us in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keeping these few points in mind, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. The basic message that we should go home with is that we become obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do whatever we are doing for the pleasure of Allah, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do it as we have been asked to do it. How we have been asked to do it, we do it in that same way. Follow the sunnah tariqah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we'll be successful dunya, qabr and the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.